Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I'm going to continue with an ongoing series about reptilian manipulation, various and sundry means through which reptilians and Dracos seek to subvert, invert our moral compass. Because that's what it's all about. We're seen as a lump of clay, a perfect vessel through which the reptilians and Drax, i.e. Draco, can potentially subvert us and make us a medium through which they can work through to wreak havoc upon society and thereby advance the reptilian draconian agenda. As human beings, we spend a lot of time in the sleep state. The reptilians and Drax, and going forward, I'll just generically refer to both as the reptilians or the reps, they've held the tactical and strategic high ground. When we're sleeping, we're vulnerable because these reptilians have the means to alter their frequency. They can slip into us, slip into our sleeping bodies, and literally take over our astral dreamscape from within. And they can make our dreams, nightmares, more like it, extremely vivid because we're living them. They're inside of us and they've essentially taken over the movie theater, if you will. And they will in turn seek to eroticize our dreams, make our dreams extremely perverse, make our dreams extremely sadistic and violent, make our dreams homoerotic. And in some cases, they will manipulate people's astral dreamscapes, and I'll get into this, in order to compel them to become child molesters, pedophiles, and I'll go into the dynamics of how that works. This is what I mean when I say tactical and strategic. Tactical refers to tactics, and that refers, in our example, and what I'm going to get into, to the modalities, the ways and means, the methodology. Once they're inside of us, how they manipulate our senses, how they manipulate our erogenous zones, let's say, how they manipulate our visual senses within our dreamscape, how they manipulate our sense of revulsion, our sense of decorum, our concept of hygiene, our concept of what's clean and what's unclean, gradually and incrementally, and then in leaps and bounds, if this is done over a long enough period of time, it will affect us in our normal waking consciousness. That is what I mean by tactics. Strategy refers to what they have in mind for us, what our role will be in the reptilian Draco scheme of things, what we're being groomed for. Are we being groomed to be an abusive partner for a woman who's been in one abusive relationship after another? Because the way the hive consciousness works, the way the reptilian manipulation works, its pervasive nature, they will manipulate people, and in our example, women who've been in abusive relationships that are codependent, needy, and they will literally guide them to the next abusive male who is under reptilian control. That's just one aspect of this agenda. And just from that example, you can see how wide-ranging and how pervasive it is. That's just one example. Negative reptilians are extreme misogynists. They despise. They have an absolutely spiteful attitude towards human females. I'm also going to get into the hermaphroditic aspect of this, the gender bending, the transgenderism that's being pushed so hard today. I've heard people dismiss the cross-dressing transgender aspect as of being irrelevant, as a distraction. On the contrary, it's a fundamental aspect of the reptilian control system. Okay, let's get into it. I've gone over some of this information in the past, so if you want to refresh your course, you can go back and see some of my earlier lectures and earlier papers I'd actually written on this subject for more details. But this is a general overview for the public or those people interested in the subject that are just coming to grips with the reality of the reptilian presence here on Earth. I spoke in the last commentary, in the reptilian hybridization commentary, about how they create serial killers, how they groom people to become serial killers. That is one category. I'm going to describe other categories which are created in the astral dreamscape, normal waking consciousness, through a variety of means, through implants, through the electromagnetic beaming of the frontal lobe to erode, chip away at the impulse control center of the targeted individual in our example. This usually involves sodomy, the reptilian anally raping the sleeping male in our example, and there are a number of ways they accomplish this. They accomplish it through astral dreamscape manipulation in conjunction with the sodomy, and I will explain now. One of their most common tactics is what I call the bait and switch. The individual in our example, a male, will find himself in what seems to be a lucid erotic dream. He is in a place, and sometimes the place could be a house that at times, depending on the story, depending on the individual telling you the story, the house could be completely bereft of furniture. You go from room to room and there's nothing there, and it's kind of dark and you're just walking around. But at the same time, you're highly sexually energized. One thing about these reptilians and other beings, we are sexual beings. So the reptilians know how to activate the sexual arousal mechanism. So as this individual is walking around in a house he's unfamiliar with, it's kind of dark, dim, again, lack of furniture, and he's highly aroused. And the very atmosphere seems to be sexually charged. And then the individual walk into a room, and now there is furniture there. There could be a sofa or there could be a bed. And on that sofa or bed is a woman who is usually nude or partially clad. And then she will arrange herself, position herself in a very inviting position, seeming to encourage or entice the man to have sexual intercourse with her. And the man walks in there and he's like, whoa, there's this really sexy, desirable woman there. And she's assumed this position where it's obvious she wants the individual to mount her. Okay, I'm getting graphic here, but this is adult, hardcore reptilian research we're talking about. We're not just talking about, oh, they exist, they're walking amongst us. We know that. We're delving deep into this. And I've talked about this many times in the past. If you really dig deep, you'll find some of my old lectures, because I've been doing this for quite a long time now. A lot of lectures and presentations I've given about this very subject. So to continue, the male in our example mounts the woman and begins intercourse with her. The moment he initiates coitus, sexual intercourse, the exact moment he starts doing that, he is sodomized from behind by a reptilian. What often happens at this point is the male abruptly wakes up due to the extreme rectal pain, not surprisingly. He may or may not make the connection between the erotic dream he just had and the sodomy. Let's say that he doesn't think much about it. He just is in pain, upset about the rectal pain. Eventually, he goes back to sleep. Now, it could happen right after he falls asleep, or it could happen the following night or a couple of nights later. But once again, he finds himself in a dark room. The atmosphere, the energy, if you will, is once again highly sexually energized. He is in a state of arousal, and he's once again walking around in a dark house, trying to find his way around, goes into a room, and once again finds a seductive, extremely desirable lady in bed, and she immediately takes up an inviting position. Once again, because he's in a state of extreme sexual arousal, and I'm not thinking for a second that, oh geez, I went through this the other night. It's the last thing on his mind. Once again, he positions himself to mount her. He gets on top of her, and just as he initiates intercourse again, at the precise moment he initiates intercourse, he is once again sodomized by a reptilian. This time, he may turn around and actually see the being behind him. He may see a full-fledged reptilian, or just see a very dark, very large being behind him, and he won't be able to make out any features. So, at any rate, upon getting sodomized, he loses his erection, and in this instance, instead of the woman maintaining her shape as a woman, and if the guy is still in the astral dreamscape scenario and has not woken up from it, what may happen at that point is the woman, the object of his desires, and this is after he's been sodomized, he loses his erection, and then the woman morphs, shapeshifts into something that he would find repulsive. It could shapeshift into his sister. It could shapeshift into his niece. It could shapeshift into his mother. It could shapeshift into a small boy. It could shapeshift into a small girl. Now, it wouldn't be surprising at this point in our narrative, let's say in our example here, the object of his desires, the woman, shapeshifts into his sister. He's immediately repulsed, immediately grossed out, and then he wakes up. And he may feel that icky, tingly sensation, his skin literally crawling from goosebumps, because the entity that was inside him, the reptilian that had taken over his astral dreamscape from within and created what I call a stage-managed dream, is now exiting his body because he is now awake. That full interface, as I call it, where the entity comfortably takes over the host, hasn't happened yet. So upon awakening, the entity will start to exit his body, and the sensations he will feel, but besides the rectal pain, is an extremely icky, tingly, goosebumps feeling from head to toe, just ickiness embodied. And sometimes the guy will look up, if he's laying on his back, for example, will look up and he will see a dark, amorphous cloud, if you will, hovering a few feet above him, above the bed. That is the reptilian that has yet to coalesce into a humanoid shape. It's still in this amorphous black cloud looking thing. And the guy is suitably freaked out by now, understandably. And then he gets up and walks over to the light switch, turns the light on. If you remember what happened a few nights before, now he's starting to wonder. Okay, I've had a couple of erotic dreams, and just as I was about to get down with the woman each time, he got sodomized from some unseen entity, or he might have caught a glimpse of the entity the second time around. And upon losing his erection and withdrawing, because he's lost his erection by then, the object of his desires, like I said, shapeshifted into his sister. So he's totally, totally revolted by this point. So not only is he feeling rectal pain, not only is he feeling the icky, tingly sensation of the entity leaving his body, not only is he witnessing this dark amorphous cloud over his head, but now he's left with his image of trying to have sex with his sister, and he's suitably grossed out by it, understandably. Now let's fast forward about a week. He goes to sleep, thinks everything is normal, and then he falls asleep, and then his dreamscape once again is taken over, because this entity once again has slipped into his body, altered its density, altered its frequency, and crept into his body and took over his astral dreamscape from within. So once again, he finds himself in an erotic scenario. Highly sexually energized atmosphere, highly aroused, and once again, he finds himself in a scenario where there's a attractive woman again. And so, not remembering or not caring about what's happened in the recent past when he's tried to consummate his desire for this desirable woman in the astral dreamscape, because to him it seems real. There's a beautiful woman there, and she's enticing me and encouraging me to engage in intercourse with her. So, you know, like any red-blooded male, he's going to think, okay, going to go for it. So, once again, he positions himself to mount her, and just as he initiates intercourse again, he gets sodomized. And this time, he may turn around and actually see the entity behind him. And this time, the entity will shapeshift, and it could shapeshift again into his sister. It could shapeshift again into a little boy. See, what these reptilians try to do is they profile us, and they try to slot us into one category or another. If they can't make us homosexual, they'll try to make us a child molester. If they can't make us, first of all, an abusive male, a serial killer, whatever the case may be. If A doesn't work, then they go to option B. If option B doesn't work, then they go to option C. So they'll try these different things in order to change the moral compass of the individual. So in this third example, to the same guy, this time, just as he initiates intercourse once again, he's sodomized, but this time the object of his desires morphs into something completely revolting. It morphs into a hermaphroditic being, like a boy with breasts, with mammaries, with a penis, and it just completely revolting, right? And it reminds me of what Barbara Bartlett talked about years ago. She showed me video, and I talked about this in the past, but it bears repeating. She video documented, if that's a word, and also interviewed in and out of regression, a man, and he was by no means unique, but a man who was in the process of going through a sex change. And he was quite open about it. He said it's the aliens that are making him do this, that want him to do this, and he's fine with it. He's going ahead with it, right? I've always thought that, you know, the leather, the studs, those were subconscious efforts to reproduce the reptilian skin, for example, you know, the studs, the spikes, the chains, the leather, all have to do with sadomasochism. So getting back to our example, this time, the object of his desires, he gets sodomized once again, loses his erection, and the creature shapeshifts into a hermaphroditic creature, a being that manifests the genitalia, the anatomical features of a male and a female simultaneously. This was Sai Baba, if memory serves, was alleged to be one of these types of beings. So he's thoroughly grossed out, thoroughly revolted, wakes up, and once again feels that icky, tingly sensation as the entity leaves his body. By this point in our story, the guy knows there's something seriously wrong. He's got the rectal pain. He's got the icky, tingly feeling as the entity exits his body. He once again found himself in an erotic scenario shortly after he fell asleep, and it will come as no surprise if this process continues that the guy may develop erectile dysfunction. If the intention is to turn him into a woman-hating misogynist who has erectile dysfunction and starts to, because of the malign influence of the reptilians, develop an animus towards women, as if he's projecting out his angst and his fear and his inadequacy out towards women, that is exactly what the reptilians want if they intend to turn him into a serial murderer, into an abuser of women, whatever the case may be. If you've taken the time to study the profiles of these serial killers, you'll find a great many of them, not all, but many of them, were suffering from erectile dysfunction. As a result, many of them would use foreign objects to penetrate their victims, whether their victims were still alive or dead. And this concept of using, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but this concept of using foreign objects against female victims is very common with entity-infested people and entity-infested cultures and ethnicities. Some of them do this all the time. They don't even have to go through this whole process I'm telling you about. They're just born hosted. So in our example, getting back to our story, the guy now has developed erectile dysfunction because he's made a conscious or subconscious connection between heterosexual sex and rectal pain. So it gets to the point where even just thinking about heterosexual sex, it reminds him of rectal pain, and he doesn't want to go there anymore. So now the manipulation will shift into high gear if the person is not aware of what's going on. I've already talked about the creation of serial killers in previous commentary, so I won't go into it here, but I'm going to talk about some of the other categories they try to slot us into, and that the next would be pedophilia, child molestation. And let me explain in part how that's done, where the reptilians are concerned. So now the person knows that whenever he thinks about sex or has an erotic dream, it turns out badly for him. He may not understand the dynamics of what's going on, may not understand he's the object of interest by these non-human beings, but he knows something is wrong. But like lots of men, young men, a middle-aged man, he still has a sex drive, right? And he still wants to find some pleasure, sexual pleasure, one way or the other. It could be through pornography or girly magazines, whatever the case may be,
And also, this could start delving, and this really belongs not entirely to the category of sexual assault, but it could start leading in directions such as voyeurism, peeping toms, that kind of thing. But getting back to the pedophilia angle, once again, the man in our example has gone to sleep. And this time he finds himself in a scenario. It could be any scenario. It could be in an amusement park, a water park, a swimming pool, a bowling alley, a Chuck E. Cheese, pizza parlor, take your pick. Okay? And he finds himself there. Once again, he finds himself highly sexually energized, highly sexually aroused. And this is the same guy who's already starting to get a complex about normal heterosexual intercourse because of the sodomy he's been subjected to. Every time he tried to initiate sex, he gets sodomized. And so, you know, the entities are working towards a plan. They're working towards an agenda. They're working towards a playbook. So they've already kind of turned him away from women for intimacy. So now they're going to try to slide him in another category, into the pedophile category. So he finds himself in this dream in a bowling alley, in an arcade, amusement park, whatever, right? Or a kid's birthday party. So now he's highly sexually energized, and there's kids around, and then and he just may be standing there minding his own business and, you know, watching the activities or having a soda, whatever the case may be, in this stage managed scenario. Next thing you know, and he's still highly sexualized, next thing you know, he's holding a little child in his arms while he's sexually aroused. And the entity, and this next phase of the manipulation applies also to trying to put him together with a hermaphroditic being, incest through what appears to be a relative, a female relative, sister, mother, cousin, niece, whatever the case may be. But the voice in the head aspect kicks in. This voice in the head will start telling him, go ahead, do it. You know you want to do it, right? And do it means, you know, violate the young child, in our example. So he's starting to get these voices in his head. And the voices are these entities, right? Now, if he has his wits about him, he goes, oh, this is disgusting, and we'll drop the kid and, you know, try to change the scenario, run away, or whatever the case may be. Or if he's fortunate, he can make himself wake up. Right? If he's not fortunate and is completely under the control of the alien, the reptilian at that time, he may go ahead and start doing things, whether it's what appears to be his sister, his daughter, his niece, his mother, some child, whatever the case may be. You can see the progression. They're trying to break down his moral compass. They're trying to get him to explore, to do things he normally wouldn't do, because they keep putting him in these scenarios over and over and over, and there's a cumulative effect to it. Okay?
Not only are they trying to get him to go along, to acquiesce in violating this young child, but parallel to that, in some of the dreams he's had in the meantime, and eventually this will start to bleed into his normal waking consciousness, he begins to have astral dreamscape, stage managed dreams, where he's being tempted, if you will, with anal sex, because they want to turn him away. If the decision was made to turn him into a pedophile, for example, right, of young boys in our example, they're first going to turn him away from women and make him open to the concept of of anal sex. Now, we talked earlier about how the rectal pain came about because of the sodomy, initiating intercourse with the target woman in our example. But some guys will actually not think it's that bad, the rectal part of it. And there's an ongoing manipulation, the voices in his head, which Jerry Marzinski talks about, the intrusive thoughts. And he will be put in scenarios, in astral dreamscape scenarios, where he's, and this is going to get pretty graphic, and it hasn't gotten too graphic already, but this is the reptilian mind we're talking about, right? I wrote a paper, a treatise, a long time ago called Inside the Reptilian Mind, where it was quickly banned off the internet, by the way, but you know, where I delved into some of these issues. They will put the guy in our example in scenarios where, okay, he doesn't want to do intercourse anymore with a desirable woman because he keeps getting sodomized, right? So then he will be put in a scenario where, and probably being guided and prompted by the entity also, where he'll find himself in a scenario, and this ties in with the child molestation programming. I'll get back to that because it runs in parallel. This is why you see so many of these perps, like those two evil sewer scum in England, the first openly gay couple that legally married, adopted a young boy, and then they just did horrific things to that child. You know, just so despicable and demonic, and that's precisely my point. It's completely inhuman. And you look at the picture of these sewer scum, you know, holding that little boy up, right? They were just so happy because they knew what they were going to do. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. They know that the old, okay, go ahead and mount her because she's willing and enticing and in a suitably accommodating sexual position for you, or in our example, for the guy to mount her and initiate intercourse. Well, because of all the sodomy he's endured attempting to do so, he's a lot more wary about doing that. So what they'll do, and this shows how clever these reptilians are, and I learned this talking to a lot of different guys. Over the years, I've spoken to a number of men and women who revealed their innermost thoughts to me and their innermost experiences, augmented by long, deep conversations with Barbara Bartolik, who bestowed upon me the wealth of her knowledge. By the time I met her, she'd been in the field doing reptilian research for over 30 years by the time I met her and worked with her. So we would have these deep conversations along these lines, right? So what would happen in our example is, this time in the astral dreamscape, the guy finds a woman and she's once again arrayed herself, positioned herself in a very enticing position. She's nude. But this time, instead of mounting her, he doesn't want to do that because he knows that every time I've tried to do this in the past, I get cornholed, so I'm not going to do that again. I'm not making light of it. I'm just laying the facts on the line. So this time, this thought comes through his head, which is not really his thought. It's the thought of the aliens, the reptilians. Why don't you use your fingers? Why don't you probe her, finger her, if you will? Let's see how long this commentary lasts in the public sphere. So this is where the sodomy and the acceptance and the acquiescence of sodomy upon himself kicks in. Get this. So he's laying there with the woman, side by side. Voice comes in his head. It prompts him, go ahead and, you know, insert. Like, so what he'll do is he'll tentatively put a finger into the woman, and as he does, the exact same split second, once again, that he touches the woman down there, he begins to feel a very light caress, touch in his rectal area, in his anus. And this is where the total interface with the reptilian starts to kick in these scenarios. So the guy notes this weird phenomena when he strokes the woman, gently inserts it, his finger. He will feel a corresponding simultaneous sensation in his anal area, in his rectal area. So the voice in his head, which is not his voice, it's the reptilian, will say, go ahead, do it, put it in. So he'll put the finger in ever so gently into the woman, and simultaneously again, he will feel the exact same depth of insertion into his own rectum. Do you see what's happening? The reptilian is giving him the mistaken impression that he's in total control of all this. He's not, but he's given the impression that he is. So he inserts the finger a little deeper into the woman, and correspondingly, simultaneously, he's feeling the exact same depth of penetration into his own rectum. Now, if he's got his wits about him, he would say, what the F is going on? Freak out and maybe even make himself wake up. Because remember, the astral dreamscape, especially the lower fourth, where there's a happy hunting ground for these reptilians and other nefarious beings, can be, at the behest of these entities, extremely highly sexually energized. And there are aspects of this, I've talked about this before, the giant vagina syndrome, where both men and women, I've talked to both men and women who've experienced this, they would find themselves confronted in the astral dreamscape by huge, sweating, 5 foot tall, huge female genitalia. Perfectly reproduced, the hair, everything, right? And they're just standing there, they're looking at this thing, and WTF, right? But there's a psychological purpose behind it. This is the problem with pornography. It rewires the neural pathways, it rewires the synapses of the viewers of pornography, right? So anyway, back to our example. Let's say the guy doesn't wake up all freaked out, and he just continues to explore. Oh, if I put it in just a little bit more, or kind of like rim the edges of my finger of this girl, I'll feel the exact same thing. So notice what he's doing tentatively. He's not just thrusting it in there, because by this point he realized, well, if I thrust it in there, then I'm going to feel the same exact same depth of penetration. It's going to hurt, right? So what the reptilians are doing in this example is breaking down his moral compass, moving him away from the thought of, okay, rectal penetration, anal penetration is painful, and moving it in a direction where it's, okay, pain, pleasure, and eventually in their mind, and as the interface process continues until the person is completely hosted eventually, where they begin to actually derive pleasure from anal penetration. So in our example, the guy experiments, and this could happen like a number of nights, not just one night, right? So again, because if the person is not consciously aware that there's this programming agenda going on, that they're being manipulated, that it's behavior modification, if they're not aware that these things are happening to him, he's just thinking, okay, just a crazy dream. The worst thing they could do is just think, oh, and dismiss it all as crazy dreams, because they're not. So eventually, if the person decides, okay, I can penetrate this female up to a certain point, and they will feel the same depth of penetration up to a certain point, okay, that wasn't too bad, maybe I'll go in a little deeper, right? Push his finger in, correspondingly, simultaneously, the exact same depth of penetration. So again, he is And also the voice is going to, go ahead and do it. No one will know. Go ahead and do it. He thinks he's in control. And see, that's part of the trap, is when they're getting sodomized, when they're thinking they're having intercourse with this beautiful woman, desirable woman, then he gets cornholed, and then the woman shapeshifts into a little boy or hermaphroditic creature or whatever, his sister or whatever. Well, that's all revolting. And it's a real turnoff, develops ED, erectile dysfunction as a consequence. But now here's an alternative. So now he can penetrate this woman with his fingers, depending, up to a certain point before he reaches that pain threshold, and then he can withdraw. And as he's withdrawing his finger out of the woman, he's feeling exactly at the same time the removal of the member or whatever it is of the reptilian. And there's a lot of different variations of this, but this is just one of the examples. So this is how gradually, incrementally, the guy can be turned homosexual, because in these astral dreamscape stage managed, highly eroticized dreams, he's starting, in his mind, he's thinking, he's starting to gain some semblance of control, because it's all about control, retaining control. Before that, he was out of control. Something was controlling him. Now he's starting to get control. Okay, so now let's switch over to the child molestation agenda. So he's already gone through this programming, preconditioning, where he's gradually allowing himself to be sodomized, but he has no interest in this point of penile insertion of normal heterosexual colloidal vaginal intercourse with women because of what's happened to him. Because just the thought of it is painful even to think about, let alone the physical sensations of the sodomy. So he's given these alternatives, he's given these options, but really it's only like one option or two options, but they're options that always will undermine his own moral compass and move him further down the track as far as programming him, rewiring his brain, the connection between the brain and all the way down to the sacral base chakra through sodomy. Notice how often sodomy comes up in all these ceremonial rites, these rituals, what have you. So many of them end up with the initiate, the guy who wants to go higher up the ladder. You know, he's getting cornholed. And that's part of it, because it creates that connection between the crown and the third eye chakra, all the way down there. And that's a whole other story. I won't get into all that stuff. Getting back to the program. So let's go back to the scenario where the same guy is in a Chuck E. Cheese and there's a kid's birthday party, whatever. He's in a highly eroticized state, really excited, and he's excited that, whoa, I actually have an erection now. In this astral dreamscape scenario, he can feel the erection that he has. Whereas in the past, in the recent past, he hasn't been able to have an erection because the thought of normal vaginal intercourse is just subconsciously, he just wants no part of that. But now he's in that astral dreamscape manipulation, lower fourth dimension, energy inside of him, and lo and behold, poof, suddenly he's holding this little boy or little girl, whatever the case may be, whatever way they want to push him. In our example, let's say he's suddenly carrying a little boy. Once again, that voice is going to tell him, go ahead, no one will know. You see where it's going, okay? So I'm not going to go there, but I'll just leave that to your, you don't even need to leave it to your imagination. You know what direction that's going to go. So the point of all this is, it's not enough to say, oh yeah, they're walking amongst us. We know that. How many times have we seen film footage, video footage of someone in this presidential entourage that's not quite human? Or there was this video that's gone around recently. I don't know the last time Trump went to Congress or gave a talk at Congress or something. He's walking through the crowd, glad-handing people, and there's a woman there, and clearly her eyes are doing funny things. I mean, her eyes are just morphing and shifting left, right, and center. Point of relevance is that's not unusual at all. I mean, in his inner circle, he's probably surrounded by these hosty, reppy, dracky people, some of whom are actual shapeshifters in all likelihood. That's the nature of the planet we're on. That's why we're never going to get anything close to real disclosure. Cannot, because the reptilians, the Draco, and their alien allies and their alien vassals, and yes, they do clone out some subservient beings to do a lot of the heavy lifting for them. They are in control of this planet. That's why everything is so effed up. So keep all that in mind. I mean, that's just one example, one type of example. In the past, I talked about how they create serial killers, what have you. This time, I talked about how they've turned a guy away from normal heterosexual intercourse to more of an acceptance of, and once again, thinking that he's the one in control now, to an open acceptance to receiving anal sex and also going beyond that. No more interest in adult women, but the entities, the reptilians, goading him, pushing him, cajoling him, manipulating him towards liking children. Someone just doesn't wake up. Well, let me rephrase that, because some of these people pretty much are born entity infested. If their reptilian Draco bloodline is pure enough, if they got an overabundance of reptilian genetics, yes, some of them, especially you look at certain cultures around the world and all the inbreeding, what have you, the low IQ, yeah, that they're all into that, you know, just violent, just totally medieval in mentality. And if you look at the state of the world today, what do we see? We see a reversion. Everything is going backwards. We're supposed to be going forward with technology, but instead the behavior, the mentality, the IQ level in the Western, mostly Caucasian world, the birth rates are going down, they're dropping off the cliff, right? That's all deliberate. It's all part of this agenda. So hang on to your hats, folks. Things are gonna pretty interesting. I would probably say a rig for death charging. I mean, things are going to get crazy going forward, but that's why we're here. We could have sat this one out and, you know, sat on a cloud and played a harp or a lute or something, and I'm opting out, not my problem. But you decided to, and however many incarnations it took you to be here and now, I believe a great many of you decided to be here because we needed boots on the ground like yourselves. And we cannot assume that some celestial force is going to come and pull our chestnuts out of the fire. Maybe, maybe not, but you can't hang your head on that. You know, let me rephrase that. You can't hang your hat on that. So anyhow, just wanted to run that by you. And like I said, I'll be trying to get these things out now and then. As far as the reptilians who concern their behavioral modification, the psychology, the mentality that the reptilians manifest. And I'm talking about the negative reptilians. I'm tired of dealing with all these idiots out there. All you ever do is talk about negative reptilians. You're talking about my family. Shut the fuck up for once already. It's some of these people in this field, they're a bunch of clowns. They're a bunch of morons. The quality of research, there are no standards anymore. The internet was a blessing and a curse. One of the things that have fallen by the wayside are standards. There's not that many real interviewers anymore, not interviewers, investigators anymore, that will delve into it at this level. Ask yourselves how many other people talk about this stuff. You should have a lot more people talking about this stuff. It shouldn't only be me. But I come from the perspective of someone who's been doing this nigh on 35 years by this point, and my mentor was doing it for 30 years before I met her. So that's like, I mean, force multiplier. It's like double the amount of experience I've had just by interacting with Barbie and sharing notes and sharing my information when I had experiences. However painful, traumatic, humiliating, degrading. I didn't care. I thoroughly briefed Barbie on what I'd experienced. And then we'd have a very clinical discussion about it in the exact same way many people, men and women, have come to me and we've had very frank clinical discussions about these subjects. This is not the time for shame or embarrassment or humiliation. It's, we got a war to fight and a war to win. And that's what I've been talking about all this time, spiritual warfare manifesting on a cosmic, multidimensional level. And while all these others are talking about love and light and ascension and what have you, right, oh, we're going to go and invade Iran to get a Stargate and other such nonsense and this faux disclosure. No, we're in for some rocky times, rigged for death charging. And one could argue that the human race has never been this close to the edge before. I would say, look, all the times celestially driven cataclysms has wiped the slate clean on this planet, and then you know, narrow the focus a little bit and look at all the slaughter meted out by the Mongols, the Huns, and the Goths, and the Vandals, and the Soviet Red Army, you know what? Civilization picked itself up. But now, the very foundations of civilization, our moral compass, knowing right from wrong, good, bad. There are some things that are intrinsically evil. There are some things that are intrinsically wrong. But this cultural Marxism makes evil a cool, trendy thing. I'm going to be talking more about the arts, music, what have you, and how it's been subverted and manipulated over time to the monstrosity that we see today. But anyhow, I just want to run some of these programming techniques by the reptilians and Draco by you. It's going to resonate with some of you out there. It's going to resonate with people who never heard of me. That somehow, through their oversoul, guardian, angel, spirit, whatever, they're going to be guided to this commentary. And the things that I've shared today, and what I've shared, folks, is the tip of the iceberg, is going to strike a resonant chord. It's like, how did this guy know that all these things happen? I mean, how do you quantify or derive some kind of contextual framework for it? Unless you know about the reptilian Draco manipulation process. If someone is completely ignorant about reptilians, so much the better, as far as this program is concerned. Anyhow, just thought I'd run all this by you. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.